If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter number 5. St. John, chapter 5. I would like to read verse 1 through 9 this morning. And then I would like to share what God has laid upon my heart. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. We thank you for the opportunity, the honor and privilege to stand and to minister your precious word. I ask you to anoint these feeble lips of clay and anoint the ears of everyone that hears. Lord, I pray that I could bring bread to this table this morning. God, that it could be broken and it could be shared and it could be given unto your people. Lord, that they may receive the nourishment and the strength, the encouragement, the peace, whatever that their need may be this morning, that they may receive it through the breaking of this bread. And Lord, I pray for your anointing to give life unto this precious word. Lord, that it be life unto each and every person here this morning, God, an abundance of life. And I ask you all in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen this morning. I just want to speak for a few minutes this morning about all your hope. All your hope. Jesus had come to Jerusalem during the Feast of the Jews, and when he comes to this place, he comes to the sheep market where there was a pool. And at this pool, there were a number of people that were gathered there who had some kind of infirmity. They were sick. They had diseases. They were crippled. They were lame. They were blind. There's no telling how many different kind of sicknesses you could have found around that pool. And all of them were there doing one thing. They were waiting. They were waiting. And they were waiting for something. They were waiting for something to take place. They were waiting for the moving of the water. They were waiting for the season when the angel would come and the angel would trouble that water. And then whoever was the first person to step into that pool when the water was troubled, they would be made whole. They would be healed of their sickness. They would be healed of what was happening in their life. So here they all are, and they are waiting. Waiting for something, looking for something, expecting something to happen. But I just want you to look this morning for a moment at where their hope was and what their hope was in. As you begin to look at this account in the scripture, you find that their hope was in a season. And I'm so thankful this morning that we don't have to wait for a season. Their hope was in a particular season. Their hope was in an angel coming. Their hope was in the water being moved and the water being troubled. Their hope was in somebody getting them into that water before anyone else. Their hope was getting to this pool in time that they might have a chance or an opportunity to be healed of what was going on in their life. This man who had this disability for 38 years, we find that his hope was in a man. His hope was in a man to get him to the water in time. So all his hope lie within somebody some person, some individual, to get them to that water in time so that he could receive his healing, so that he could gain victory, that he could get deliverance of whatever he needed. Jesus comes by, and Jesus sees him lying there, and aren't you glad that our Savior is a God of compassion? And he sees this man, and he knows that he's been lying in that condition. He's been in that condition for 38 years, and it touches his heart, and it touches his spirit. And I want to insert something here this morning. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus knows where you are this morning. He knows the condition that you are in. He knows what you are facing, and he knows what you are going through. He knows sometimes, as our brother spoke this morning, the battles that were going on in his life that no one else probably knew about. The struggles, the things that we go through, even as Christians. You know, sometimes we get high and mighty and want to act like nothing's going on and nothing's wrong. But I can tell you that all of us face things in our lives. But Jesus knows exactly where we are, and he knows the condition that every one of us are in, physically, mentally, and spiritually. He knows the condition of your life, of your heart, of your spirit, and he knows exactly how long you have been in that condition. And thank God he also knows exactly what you are facing, and he knows exactly how that it's affecting your life. Sometimes we are good at hiding things. I've never been one that's good to hide things. When I'm going through something, everyone knows it. Amen. But some people are very good at hiding what they're going through. But the Lord knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're facing. And he's asking you and I this morning the same question that he asked this man at the pool. Will you be made whole? Do you want deliverance? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to have peace over the things that you are going through? Do you want to get through these things? Do you want to have victory over these things? And sadly, when Jesus asked the man that question, my thought immediately was he would say, yes, Lord. I want to be set free of this. I want to have peace. I want to be healed right now, Lord. I want to be made whole. But instead, he did not say, yes, Lord. But sadly, instead, the man said, but I have no man to put me into the water when it's troubled. I have no man to help me to get to the water. So someone else always steps in before me. You know what this man was saying in his heart? He was saying, others get help, but not me. Others get what they need, but not me. Others receive peace in their spirit, in their mind, but not me. Others get the victory, but I don't. And I can tell you, around that pool, there were many other people who had the same mindset as he did. They had the same thought pattern as he did. Others can get help, but not me. How many know sometimes that we get that mindset? We see people get victory. We see people strengthened, and we see people get peace, and we see them get help. And we say, oh, God, everyone else gets help, but not me. It seems that I can't get what I need from the Lord. They all have their hope in someone else helping them get their miracle. They all have their hope in a man or a person or in the troubling of the water or in some other thing to help them get the victory that they needed. Jesus looks at the man and he simply says to him, rise. Take up your bed and walk. Just get up. Rise up out of that afflicted body. And this morning, he's saying to someone this morning, rise up out of that afflicted mindset. Rise up out of that afflicted spirit. Rise up out of whatever struggle that you are facing and you're going through this morning. Just rise up. You see, Jesus wanted this man to understand and to realize something. He wanted this man, as well as he wants you and I, to understand this morning that his hope did not need to be in an angel coming. That his hope did not need to be in the troubling of the water. That his hope did not need to be in some man getting him to the water in time. But that all his hope needed to be in him, in Jesus Christ. It needed to be in the one who could truly help him. In the one who could truly give him the deliverance that he needed in his life. And he wanted all his hope to be in that Christ, in Jesus the Lord. With his hope in all of these other things, it led to constant disappointment, constant discouragement, constant despair. And when we put our hope in all these other things, I can tell you through what our world has been through and what our world is going through, it grieved my heart. As Sister Haley read that testimony this morning and that report this morning, you know, we are soon to forget where we were. We are soon to forget that at one time my wife and myself and my daughter and two grandsons and another son-in-law, we all had COVID in my house at the same time. And we are very quick to forget that we had been in that place not long ago, and that there are other people who are still facing these things, and we need to have a spirit in our heart that says, oh God, don't let us forget. But let us pray for them, and let us pray that they could put their hope in Jesus Christ. He wanted this man to understand he didn't need his hope to be in his stepping into the water, or being the first one to step in, but he wanted this man to understand that all the hope he needed was in Jesus Christ. Because all of these other things lead to disappointment. I wonder how many times have you been disappointed? How many times have you put your hope in other things or put your hope in people? And thank God we do have men and women of God that we can put our faith and our hope in. But can I tell you this morning, there's times when they cannot help you. It's going to take Jesus himself to help you. And how many times have we put our hope in these things only to be disappointed? Has anyone ever been depressed in your spirit? And depressed in your mind and in your heart and discouraged and in despair, and you just don't know which way to go. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what you're going to do. And sometimes you just throw up your hands and say, why, God? And that disappointment comes so often. If we would reflect back at those times and we were honest with ourselves and honest with God, we would say we didn't really put our hope. We didn't put all our hope in Jesus. Sometimes we think he's a 50-50 God. We'll put 50% of our hope in the Lord and 50% in these other things. But can I tell you, he wants all your hope to be in him this morning, all your hope. Sometimes we just don't wait long enough for the Lord, do we? Our brother said he had to wait. That was a hard struggle in his life to wait that long. But sometimes we just have to wait for the Lord. So we're not looking for other things to help us and get disappointed. Psalms 33 and verse 20 said, our soul waiteth for the Lord. And that word waiteth means here, my soul longeth for the Lord, my soul hopeth for the Lord. My soul hopeth for the Lord. And he says this, he is our help and our shield. In other words, it is God who will help you, and it is God who is going to protect you. So it is God who we need to put our hope in. Amen. I put my hope in him this morning. And I pray this morning God would help us to put all our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's put all our hope in him. The 22nd verse of that 33rd chapter said, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in you. If you want an abundance of God's mercy to be upon your life this morning, then you need to put an abundance of hope in him. Let your mercy be upon us, O God, according to the hope that we have in you. Like the man at the pool, we don't have to wait for all of these other things this morning. Just wait on Jesus. Because he's the one that's going to see you through every struggle that you have in this thing called life. I have told, I had three daughters, and now God has given me four grandsons. He just reversed the thing, and I got spoiled to girls, and these boys are totally different. Totally different. It's been a shock to me, but I thank God. But in life, there would be things that would come up, and my girls would come crying, or they would call on the phone crying, and something had happened, you know, an accident, an automobile accident, or going through this struggle or going through that struggle. And I would say unto them, it's this thing called L-I-F-E. and God's going to help us through it. A vehicle is nothing but metal, and it's nothing but fiberglass, and it's nothing but plastic, and all of that can be replaced, but you cannot be replaced. Amen. As long as you are right, everything's going to be all right. Amen. Everything's going to be all right as long as you're all right. Yes. Amen. The thing just didn't want to stay on. Amen. So, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according to the hope that we have in you. In Acts chapter 3, you find the story of the lame beggar who was brought to the gate and he was laid there daily. And he came there every day. Someone would carry him there and he would ask for donations from people as they passed by. And as we see this man laying at the gate, we find something that all of his hope was in somebody carrying him to that gate every day. And all of his hope was in somebody giving him enough monetary substance to be able to survive and to be able to live. So he was placing all of his hope in these things, but thank God this morning Peter and John came by. And when Peter and John came by, they say unto this man, look at us, look upon us. And they say to the man, I don't have any monetary money to give to you. I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, but I have something better. We have something better that we can offer unto you. And they said unto them, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In other words, said, we don't have any money to give you, but we have Jesus to give you. And I tell you this morning, they were about to turn this man's life around. They were about to show this man, thank God, that he can have hope that he never knew of before. That he could gain strength that he never knew that he could have in his life. And he said unto him, and you see what he said, rise up. Rise up. The same thing that Jesus said to the man in John chapter 5. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. This morning, church, if you'll put all your hope in Christ, you'll be able to rise up from whatever's going on in your life. If you put all your hope in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, you can rise up from that thing. There are people who are fighting personal battles that no one else will ever know what they're going through. Struggles that no one else will ever know they faced. Sometimes we look at spiritual leaders and church leaders and we think they never have a problem in the world. Man, if you only knew. If you could only really understand what battles that they go through as well as you do. Our battles may be different, but we're all going to face battles in this life. And thank God this morning the Lord is saying, put our hope in him and we can rise up above these things. We can rise up. Sir, put all your hope in Jesus and you won't have to hope for someone to carry you. You'll never have to be carried again. Amen, sir, just rise up, put your hope in Jesus, and you won't have to look for donations, amen, because you're not going to need a donation again, because Christ is going to deliver you of these things. You're going to get victory over it. Peter took him by the hand, and he raised the man up, and the man stood, and the man walked, and the man went into the temple walking and leaping and praising the one in whom he had now put all his hope in. And I tell you this morning, somebody needs to get up and somebody needs to stand and somebody needs to walk and somebody needs to begin to leap and begin to praise God, saying, God, I put all my hope in you. I put all my trust in you. I put all my faith in you. This morning, as I come from Louisiana, I come to visit my family, and I thank God for Pastor giving us this invitation this morning, even though I was nervous and my knees were smoting against one another. Amen. Amen. I was so nervous thinking I'm going to come here and I'm going to speak and I just asked God to help us. But I come this morning and I cannot trouble the water for you. I come this morning and by far I am not an angel. And so I cannot come into the midst of your water and I cannot trouble your water for you this morning. And I may not be able to help you, be the first one to get into the water to find the help that you need this morning. I may not be able to carry you where you need to go. And I may not be able to give you the donation that you might need. But I did come to give you Jesus. I did come to tell you about one who can help you this morning.
I did come to tell you about one who can give you the victory that you need. And I extend my hand to you this morning to offer Jesus to you, to help you to rise up and to rise above these things, to help you to look upon Jesus. When Peter said, look on us, he wasn't trying to get any attention to himself. He was trying to get the man to see Jesus in their lives and to grasp a hold of that hope that they had got a hold of. Look on us, but they were really saying, look on Jesus. With Jesus, you can rise up from any condition or any situation that you may be in. My wife had got us airline tickets to come here to visit, and we were so looking forward to come. We wanted to come and be at Noah's graduation from kindergarten, and they moved it back a day on us after we had already gotten our tickets. So we got to get here that night after the graduation, but we were still so glad to get to come and spend a few days with them. And as we had this trip planned to come out of nowhere, my wife goes for a routine test. And out of that routine test, she's sent to a specialist. And from that specialist, they send her within days for a biopsy. And this thing just came out of nowhere. You are never expecting anything like this. You are never looking for anything like this. And so Tuesday morning, before we flew out on Wednesday, she had a biopsy. And then comes that thing called waiting. And I can tell you it's not easy to wait. It's a struggle to wait. It's a struggle to go through this thing. And, you know, neither one of us said it, but there was that silent fear there. The uncertainties of everything, of wondering what's going to take place. You see, we've been there because I lost my mother to cancer, and then later she lost her mother to cancer. And so there was that fear, that just uncertainty. We love God, we trust God, and we believe in God, yet we're still human. And we still have these fears that try to grip a hold of our hearts. And you know what? No one could take that fear away from us. No one could come and trouble the water and make us feel better. No one could do anything. The only thing that we could do was put all our hope in our Savior. The only thing we could do is put all our hope and our faith and our trust in the one who has saved us and who has kept us through all of these years. We could only put our hope in the one who has let us be married for 35 and a half years and has given us a beautiful family and a wonderful family. All we could do was put all our hope in Him. So we come, we fly here, and we're waiting. We're waiting for a phone call. The surgeon told me, he said, as soon as I find out, you will find out. I will call you. We come, and we had a beautiful day on Thursday. We went to Sight and Sound and saw Esther. I got up after Esther and said, that's the best church service I've been in a long time. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was wonderful. I was weeping. I was crying. I just felt the presence of God. I can tell you, that's an amazing thing to be able to go to an establishment in our world today and feel that. And then on Friday, we rode over to Penn Cave, and we were waiting to be able to go in. And so we'd brought a picnic, and we were sitting at the table under a pavilion, and we were eating a picnic, and the phone rang. And my wife looked at the number, and she answered it. And I can tell you, Christina and Nick and myself, we just froze. And we're all just sitting there. It's like we were holding our breath. And my wife is talking to him, and she says, thank you, and she hangs up. And she turns, and she says, the first words out of his mouth were, Miss Craig, I have good news. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have good news, and I thank God that all of our hope is in Him. And if it had been otherwise, we still would put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God He has been merciful to us. Thank God we put our hope in him, and an abundance of his mercy came upon us, and we all just turned and we wept in tears of joy, and we rejoiced. And I think Brother Nick said something like this. He said, this is a good place here. This is a good day. Amen. We've got good news, and we have a good God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank God we have a good God this morning, church. He is an amazing God. He is a great God, and he has been merciful unto us this morning. Just a couple more minutes, and I'm not going to hold you long. I don't know what you might be dealing with right now. I do not know what you might be facing or what you may be going through at this present time in your life. But I do know one who can help you deal with it. I do know one, and I come to tell you of one who can help you through this thing. How many knows he didn't keep the Hebrew children from going into the fire, but he brought them through the fire? He didn't keep Daniel from going into the den of lions, but he brought him through the den of lions. He has not promised us that he's going to keep us out of situations that life brings, but he has promised us he'll see us through every one of them. Our part is to put all our hope in him. Let's put all our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning that whatever your Goliath is, whatever giant is standing before you, that giant's going to come down. When David came and he came and Saul brought him to him, and Saul said to him, here, put on my armor. What did David say to him? David said, I haven't tried this. This is not going to work for me. I cannot put my hope in this armor. King, I'm sorry. I mean no disrespect, but I have not tried this. But he had tried Jesus. He had tried his God. Amen. And I know that word tried there doesn't mean that, but I haven't put this on. I haven't been in battle with this, but I have been in battle with my God. And can I tell you that sometimes the world has a lot to offer you when you're going through things, and sometimes even kind-hearted and loving brothers and sisters have a lot to offer you, and sometimes they even want to throw all kinds of scriptures at you, and thank God that's good, but I've heard people say, I know the scriptures, but it's not helping right now. It's not helping right now, and sometimes, thank God, the only thing that's going to help is God Almighty. Sometimes the only way you're going to get through this thing is by the help and the grace of God. And this morning, I've just come to tell you just very shortly this morning that my God, your God, is able to help you. Amen. He's able to help you this morning. I was on the plane and I was looking out the window. And no matter how many times I've flown, every time I look out that window, I'm still amazed. It just seems like you're in another world. And you look up and there's another blue sky, and I can't help but think sometimes if I could get just a little further and just a little further, just how much more beautiful would it be? And I was looking out that window and I was praying for my wife, and I was praying, God, what would you have me to speak at Summit Campus on Sunday? What is your message for the hour? What is your message for that people? You know who's going to be there. You know the needs. I do not. And I'd been praying for some time that way, and I sat back in my seat, and I turned, and I looked over towards my wife, and she turned from the other direction, and she looks at me, and she says, I don't know why this come to me. She said, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, where he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. And at first, I'm like, no, 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 we're not going to hear that. I'm not going to hear that. Amen. But then she began to explain, and she began to say, you know, he's at the end of his life on this earth. And he is reflecting back on his life. So many times when you hear somebody say, I, so many times as Paul does in that portion of scriptures, you have to get nervous. when they bring up I. But she said, you know what? He's reflecting on his life, and he knew he has done what God wanted him to do. And so it wasn't pride and it wasn't arrogancy, but it was an assurance that he had put all his hope in Jesus Christ. And that because he had put all his hope in Jesus Christ, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. Not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of his Christ, the righteousness of his Savior. My wife had the privilege of going to Oliver's graduation, one of our other grandsons who graduated kindergarten in Louisiana. They only allow two, and he said, Mama and Mama. He made the decision. And we were able to say, you're no longer a kindergartner, but you're a first grader now. Many of you have been graduating from the Bible college, and where Nick and some of the others have gone, have graduated and masters, and I'm so proud and I'm so thankful. And awards are given. And the Apostle Paul's come to the end of his life and he's saying, I'm graduating. And the awards and the rewards are about to be handed out. Thank God he's no longer earthbound, but he's about to be glory bound. And it's all because he put all his hope in Jesus Christ. And he could stand firm. I love the songs that they sang because every one of them was speaking these words this morning. It was the anchor that held him to the ground. It was how he could stand firm through all that he went through. All he knew battles. He knew what trial and tribulation and storms were about. He knew what suffering was about. And yet he could stand and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. This morning, are you ready? No matter what life has thrown your way, you can stand ready in Jesus Christ this morning. You can stand ready in the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I love you this morning. Lord, I've did my best to obey you this morning and to speak what you have laid on my heart. Lord, this is as far as I can take it. I can do no more. But I know that your precious Spirit can take this word and give it life. Can take this word and speak volumes to the spirit and the heart of this people. That you can minister. That you can heal. That you can give peace of mind and peace of spirit. That whatever the condition and the situation is, Lord Jesus, if they'll only put all their hope in you, you are the God who does not fail. You are the God who will not fail. You are strong. When we are weak, you are strong. And we stand on your strength this morning. We stand on your ability, not ours. We stand on your word and not ours. We stand in your presence this morning. And we give you praise and we give you thanksgiving. This morning I would like to extend an invitation that if you are going through something, if you are facing something, if you would come and find a place to pray. And you would just give it to Jesus and you would say, Lord, don't let me put my hope in these other things, but teach me how to put all my hope in you. Teach me, oh God, help me this morning, for I need your help. Would you come this morning and ask God to help you to put all your hope in him? As they sing, would you just come and find a place?